Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha and welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. This is episode number 50. We are joined by, I'm going to bring him on right now. Actually, I have two guests calling in. Marcus and Jesse, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you, Paul?
How you doing?
Good. Welcome. I'm just going to wrap up
Thank
with
you.
My 50th episode. We're thankful to have return guest Marcus Mizell. And today we're going to be joined by his lead actor, Jesse O'Neill, from Actor for Hire. So let's just rip into it, guys. I watched this film
let's
again this morning and laughed even harder than the first time. And so I want to go with Jesse on this one. Jesse, what did what were your first thoughts when you read this? And again, I know we were not supposed to give too much away, but this is a hilarious spoof of Hollywood.
What were my first thoughts?
Yes.
Are you talking about from the feature or from the web series?
Oh, the feature, yeah.
So, this started a couple of years ago as a... sorry, I'm getting an echo. Give me one second. Sorry about that.
No worries. Hey, we're all filmmakers. We all know the jets start taking off once the mic rolls.
Yeah, no, I have an echo going there. Sorry. So as far as the feature goes, first off, I mean, it was hilarious. It was like it was something really good to see from, like, what we had, like, started a couple of years before that, and then to see actually what it turned into at that point. Which the stakes just became way higher, the story became way funner, the characters became way brighter. You know, it's just, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, lack of better word, it was awesome.
Well, this is Marcus. Let me first have you plug the good news. For any of you that haven't heard of this film, Actor for Hire, premiered in Los Angeles in June, wrapped up its festival run the 13th in Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm not going to get into all the cities it played, but why don't we start off with your good news today, Marcus?
Yes, sir. So we have distribution with Gravitas Ventures, and we will be available for purchase and rent on, we have iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, everything pretty much. January 1st. So we're really excited about just it being available to the whole world.
Well, what I love that you guys did when I looked at your going over the research that I always do as a host, I love that you guys did such a short festival run, because I'm not knocking any films or even that have had like a year and a half festival run. Just briefly, Marcus, what was that a strategy to just say we're just going to hit 6 months and we're not going to get into an 11th month run, or what was that?
Yeah, so the basic strategy is we do whatever it takes to get distribution, but once you have distribution and it's available, you know, for everyone, that's, you know, what's the point of continuing to go, you know, to festivals? And also it costs, you know, instead of spending money, you get to a place where you can hopefully start making some money. So it was always basically, you know, let's propel this thing as much as possible until we can, get to that distribution mark and also get some solid press in the process, you know, which we were in Hollywood Reporter, we were in IndieWire, Deadline. That was a really big deal for us as well, you know.
Well, that's awesome. Well, hey, you forgot to say you're reviewed by me, Marcus. No, I'm just kidding.
oh, that's right. My main man.
By the way,
you're very kind.
Thank you. No, I mean, if we're going to be in the town of name droppers, we might as well drop them. What I wanted to say was that you guys treated the spoof with such intelligence. Is there one of you that would like to speak to that? Were you always being conscious to not fall into the scary movie baloney? And
I think Jesse's version, I mean, I think we both have different versions of that answer. I think I would love to hear Jesse's, you know,
yes.
What do you think?
Wait, so what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Well, this is like an intelligent spoof. I mean, this made me think of Airplane. This wasn't like the way Scary Movie has 5. Like, I don't foresee Actor for Hire 6. So, like, it was just so intelligently
No, it's a trilogy,
done.
Actually.
It's a prequel.
Yeah.
Go fire away, Jesse.
No, why don't you go ahead there, Marcus. Why don't you start it off?
Okay. All right. We'll come back around to the next one.
I'll come back around.
You know, I mean, the way I saw it was, you know, it's like it was. Let's just pretend like this is the real world, and we have a camera there that's documenting it. It's kind of like, I guess you would call it kind of like a docu-style, but you know, it's the real world, but there just happens to be these really colorful kind of zany characters throughout the thing. And it was very important for me and for Jesse to keep his character pretty much the straight guy, you know, he doesn't get too high or too low as far as like the color of his character, but everybody else around him is just, you know, very colorful basically, you know. But as far as like the tone of it, I guess like an airplane, obviously it's not like an airplane, it's not slapsticky, but,
oh, right.
You know, I think it has a strong, basic, you know, simple story, and it's, you know, kind of a romantic, like a dramedy first, and then I feel like the comedy, the laugh out loud moments, I hope, are just on top of it. So I think every good comedy is a comedy second, but first it needs to be just, you know, some kind of conflict with the story. So
I was just going to say, I think, like, my character, Jesse's character, is, like, almost like a, you know, a vehicle, and like, in himself, like, actually driving you through, like, the madness of Hollywood, I think. Like, just seeing, like, the, you know, from different levels of people, whether it be, like, at the bottom to the top, you know, and stuff like that. But, yeah, everybody is, you know, what we've said, you know, is caricatures of, like, themselves. I mean, you know, it is it's not necessarily spoofy or slapstick, but there is, you know, everyone's playing extensions of themselves in an exaggerated kind of way, but, you know, it's just good fun. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a lot of situations.
Yeah. I just wanted to add to that real quick. Sorry to interrupt you. And I think that was important to have people play a version of themselves, because, like, it just, you're guaranteed a little more authenticity. Not that any of these actors are unable to be authentic. They're all great. But it's like we didn't have much time, you know. Like, we had maybe two, maybe three takes per shot. So, you know, we just needed to, like, not explore too much once we got on set. And I think that helped a lot as far as keeping everybody, you know, as an extension of themselves, you know. And I look at Jesse as playing, you know, he isn't getting these specific situations in real life, but I feel like Jesse turned out a really honest performance because he's playing – himself, I think, more than anybody else is playing themselves, you know. So,
well, no,
very
camera. Yeah, but I think what you guys are saying, definitely, you know, I find it interesting, because I guess spoof came into my mind because I was so happy that I watched this film this morning, because I've had like 6 or 7 experiences since the last time I interviewed you, Marcus, that I haven't. So I didn't mean more so spoof. I meant more so like to us in the business that know those inside jokes, it's
going to seem that much more funny.
I mean, it's not required. Don't get me wrong, audience out there, you don't need to know the inside jokes. But, I mean, something that's not spoiling anything is like the way you have like, you know, 4 or 5 people lined up at a Starbucks with laptops.
Yeah.
Like I never caught that before, and I just thought that's such a brilliant observation. It's just like everybody's always on their laptop in those certain little pockets of West Hollywood, and it's just like, you know, we don't talk anymore, but we'll leave that out. Jesse, did you have a favorite festival or compliment that came out of this experience?
Ooh, favorite festival. I mean, well, we just came back from, I mean, we just finished up. We kind of cleaned house with North Carolina, Virginia, and before that, Orlando. You know, I think the best compliment to all of us was the award that we got in Orlando was for Best Ensemble Cast. It was I think Marshall says, I think it's the perfect award for this film as far as, like, the, you know, the characters that Marcus wrote and everyone that got to play them, you know what I mean? It's like we all got to take something home from that. So that was a huge compliment, I think, for everybody across the entire board. The best festival, I don't know, those last 3 were pretty good. We had a really good start. It was with Dance with Films. That was our first, like, you know, one to kind of take home. We really appreciated them over Dance with Films. It kind of gave us some steam to, you know, help get the other ones going. But, I mean, everybody, all those festivals were great, and they were all different in their own kind of ways. So, you know,
yeah,
those four right there, I think were, they did it for me.
Well, and I see here you got to, I see here you got to play in a town that's mentioned in the film.
We got to play in a town, what, in Warwick?
Warwick.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty cool.
That was Warwick. We did the flight out there, right, Marcus? We got everybody up.
Oh, no,
well, no, that
your drive-in theater. That was so cool. I wasn't able to make it,
oh,
but Jesse,
oh,
actually went back.
Yeah,
you actually were like pretty much like the festival co-director at that point, right? Because
new. The way that kind of came about was, I'd caught wind. Marcus and the team, they kind of went out. They went out to Connecticut, and in the midst of that, I had some friends of mine going up there. They told me there was a festival going on in Warwick, and it just so happens I reached out to them, and one thing kind of led to the other, where somehow one conversation led to the next, and I ended up directing the festival, which was a really big honor to actually be able to do. And we got to, you know, got to put the film up on a big screen at the drive-in movie theater, which I grew up going to, and got to play it on actual screen that I spent, you know, years and years and years watching movies and, you know, and saying one day I hope to be on this screen, and to be actually be able to take that film back home and show it to my whole family and friends and people in the town and stuff. That was a huge, 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 huge honor to be able to do that as well, you know. We also were somehow able to get, you know, the marvelous James Cromwell, got him to come out there and come see it as well, which was an even bigger honor. He's a local person that just moved to Warwick not too long ago, so it was awesome. It was a really good experience.
The fact that it started with a simple idea and just a simple web series, and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, 2 years later, James Cromwell is watching it on a big screen in Warwick, New York. That's crazy to me. That's why you do it, I think. You know, not for James Cromwell, but, you know, situations like that, you find yourself living the dream, kind of, you know. Pretty cool, man. All you got to do is just shoot something and then kind of, like, build that momentum.
Well, that's what I like. That's what I like that I wanted to mention, because a lot of filmmakers talk about stealing shots. There were just some really interesting ways that used LA. Did you have any specific films that you used to kind of, you know, because to me Collateral like captures LA better than any film I've ever seen, but this was like superb. I mean, I know, and again, people, when I mention these things, like, it's not like you have to know LA to get the film or like it, but just real quickly, Marcus, I wanted to ask you about that. Like, you had some really killer locations in there.
Well, for me, it wasn't. I don't think there was one film that I was drawn upon. My vision for the setting of LA was to just make it a happy, wonderful, possible place. You know what I mean? Because you see a lot of, you know, LA's got a bad rap in some you know, sometimes. And I wanted to make it as colorful as possible, as inviting as possible. And I wanted to try my best to show every part of LA. You know, you see downtown, you see Hollywood, you see Studio City, you see Venice, you see Beverly Hills, you see everything. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it was more about just kind of, you know, doing right by L.A. because it makes me, I'm happy being here. And I just wanted to get that across in the film. It's a big thing for me.
It's kind of a character in itself, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I like that you say that, because films do kind of, or people in general, paint it as a bad rap. And I think that people often forget that anywhere they're at is just a reflection of themselves. So if you're having a good time, then New York's going to be a good time. So, but yeah, now that you're mentioning that, that's really popping out. You really achieved that well.
Nice.
Do you guys have, obviously something that doesn't spoil anything, do you guys have a specific favorite scene that you guys had playing as director and actor?
What is yours, Jesse? I mean, for me, it's like different. Each screening, I think the best moment in the movie, the one that works the best with audiences, is, I'm not going to tell you specifically, well, you've seen it,
right.
But the audience out there, I think the best moment is from Act 2 to Act 3, that little reveal there where it's, I don't know how to really talk more about it without giving it away, but
oh, right, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Where he's basically, yeah, where he's, he is, I can't even say anymore without giving it away.
Yeah,
but,
I'm so sorry. After the question came out my mouth, I was like, oh, yeah, shoot.
Oh, no worries. No,
but maybe we can play with, you know, you've said it's actor for hire, so he's looking for work. So, I mean, what was it like, you know, play Jesse, how did you feel like actors are trained to portray anything, but honestly, I think I would have a hard time if you told me get up tomorrow and you're playing a podcast host for cameras and grips and dollies and lights. I'd be embarrassed. I don't know if I'd be able to talk. So what was it like playing an actor, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, that's kind of like everybody's life here. I think it is kind of what it is. I mean, it's definitely fun. I mean, movies about movies are just fun in general. And I think, you know, it's a great opportunity. I mean, for anyone to be able to get to do that, you know what I mean? Like, I think people go back to thinking about like watching Entourage or doing whatever. And you see, you know, an actor playing an actor and stuff like that. So it's like a character I think everybody always wants to do. Like anyone who's, you know, here in this city or you know, pursuing an acting career, that's like, it's kind of a small little thing on the belt to check off, you know what I mean? So it was fun, though. It's really fun.
Entourage is like my all-time favorite show. And today,
I mean,
when I was watching it, I was thinking about that. So, I mean, was there, did you guys not model it, but was that a big kind of like Entourage is like in your...
Well, no, this is like the broke version, I think. I mean, I think when people, well, a lot of people see Entourage, and I think people think that's what it is the second you come out here, that you've got your gang of people you're walking around with, walking and talking in the streets. Everyone's drinking coffee and talking really fast. But at the same time, it's, you know, what people don't think they understand is, like, coming out here to L.A. It's not necessarily easy. When people say it, you know, chews you up and spits you back out, it's like the truth where, you know, I didn't meet Marcus, I think, until the first couple of years of living here. You know, and it's not like you come here and you immediately have a big group of friends and you're walking around. So I think that's the truth in this there, though, too, is that Jesse's kind of lost. Not lost, but, you know, looking for that family, looking for a group to call his own, or a group, you know what I mean? And it's an important thing to have out here. I don't think you can be here in LA without it, because a lot of the people who don't get that, they end up packing their stuff and going home before they even get a chance to see what the city's really about. Those are the people that get chewed up, spit back out, and then they pack their bags and go back home. So, you know, which might, you know, actually, well, let me not say too much, actually, because I was about to go into some of the story as well and stuff too, but, you know, I think everybody faces that. Everybody, anyone who comes out here, you can be an actor, you can be a director, you can be a writer, you can be whatever, anything in this industry. Like, you're up against like a lot of people, and you're, you know, that competitive thing is always in the air. Anybody you meet here, there's a lot of times in LA where people are afraid to get close to people because nobody knows what they want from them or if they might want something from them. And, you know, so it's important, yeah, just finding the right group of people and, you know, calling the city your own, being able to do that and have that.
Yeah, I feel it's like, Marcus, you feel like the film kind of had, like, you wanted there to be, like, what Jesse's saying, like, removing preconceived notions. I mean, you have to have the things that are said and done and that are realities, like, if you don't have a support system or... I mean, I've found one of my favorite support systems is just an old film school roommate who calls me 4 or 5 nights a week. And sometimes just being able to ramble about what we don't like or love about what we're doing is able to just sync me right up for the next day. And so I liked that your film did have that. And that was something that popped out at me that Jesse said when I was watching the film, would you really show that kind of community, which, Marcus, I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, you were telling me you come from being a grip, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's what, remember, we discussed about Jesse. Have you gotten to experience any other aspects of a crew besides acting?
Yeah, I have, actually. I've had the... because even before we did this, in the process, I think, of doing ActorFy, I don't remember where the pilot was, 2012, but, you know, when I first met Marcus, he was doing a lot of different music videos and stuff like that. It was kind of like the first, you know, couple things he was doing here. And I helped out on set with him as well, like, with just me and him. And then through that, met another guy who was one of the producers on the film, Manny. I had the chance to work up on a bigger set, actually. I think we did, I forget what it's called. I think it's called Return to Zero, but I did some gripping on that movie, and, you know, I don't call myself a grip. I'm not a grip, but I had the chance to actually go on set and give it a shot. And I've done a little bit of everything. I did some set design. I got to work with a production designer, Richard Hoover, and did, like, some set dressing with him, and, you know, I've done a little bit of everything, you know, and I think for anybody who comes out here, you need to be willing to do anything to get yourself on set. I think a lot of people have the wrong idea of, if you're an actor, you want to be known as an actor, whatever it is, but by the time I get myself on set, whatever I'm doing, I just kind of let everybody know, and it's a good way of meeting people, and just like, that's what school is or was for me. I mean, it was just kind of getting on there and kind of just getting right to it. You know what I mean? I didn't go to acting school. I didn't go to college. I didn't do any of that stuff. I just kind of moved to the city and, you know, just tried to hustle. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, like, to add to that, like, I think it gives you perspective. Like, whenever, you know, you're a crew member or whatever on set and you're watching other, you know, actors doing their thing or whatever from an outside perspective, and then when you get on set as an actor and you're in front of the camera, you have more perspective because you had that crew experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty important.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because you really... Good.
I was just going to say, I think it really helps you appreciate every single job that's on there, because I've been on some of the sets where you have some of the actors that hold their nose in the air because they think that they're the talent, and all these other people who are lugging around sandbags and everything else, like, act like they don't matter. And it's like, without every single person on that set, there is no film. Every single person is a piece to the puzzle, and it's extremely important. And it is like Marcus said, it is like it gives you some perspective on everything. Like, even if you have a chance to shape some light on somebody's face, even one time, you understand as an actor, when you're standing in the light, why you can't turn left, why you can't turn right, why you need to stay still. Like, it just gives you a more overall understanding of, like, the, you know, the actual functioning of a set and what's actually happening. Instead of just being some clueless actor standing there while the 20 people are walking around you in circles and, you know, so, yeah, it's important.
Yeah, I like that you said that, because probably the best lesson I've ever had was as a PA on a set, and I can't say who it was, but all I can say is it was probably one of the biggest movie stars ever, and it was probably, like, 2 weeks after
he
was
up for
one of those Oscars. No, I can't. And he literally gave me the lesson that you just gave me. Like, he would sit around, and we'd talk about Sidney Lumet and Mike Nichols, and I remember going home being like, you know, isn't, like, wait a minute, there's this whole aura or facade of, because it's this person, like, he might not like Dog Day Afternoon as much as I do. And so it was really cool because it kind of showed me, like, it was like a way of being like, hey, I know you break your back and I sit in a hotel suite and, you know, I know you're working for $100 a day, I'm working for whatever. And it was just a really nice thing that from that point on, I was able to kind of let go of any baggage I had about there being the bad side of the industry.
Right. Yeah.
So
there are a lot
I think
of great
like
actors
saying, yeah.
that totally get what we're talking about. They're professional. They, you know, it's, you got some bad seeds in every little category, you know, but for the most part, like the bigger sets I've worked on, most of the actors and everyone else too, they just get it because they've done it a lot. Yeah. So, you know,
let's see, Marcus, again, for some people that join us later, skip around. Can you hit us again with the great news as to why we're here today?
You betcha. Yes, we are going to be available on VOD January 1st on all the major digital platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Vudu, and hopefully Time Warner Cable. We're waiting to hear back on that. So it will be out there for everyone to watch January 1st. You can actually pre-order it now on iTunes if you just can't wait. You can look at the picture and read the synopsis and stuff. It's about all you need to do.
Yes. Look it up, Actor for Hire. By the way, there must be a website. We might as well plug the website, Actor for Hire, so people can take a look at this.
Yeah, actorforhiremovie.com. Got all the information, all of our press, everything.
Yes, that was I was so happy to hear this, Marcus. And another thing that came out of your movie today that again was a theme, so it's not like giving something away, was that I think there was an overall theme about being in Hollywood and remaining your word. And so I wanted to say that it was really cool because we talked about I like to keep this coffee shop style. I had to drink a little bit of my tea. Was that we talked about, you know, one day come back if you get a deal or a theatrical run or whatever is going on with you. And so the show and myself and the producers just wanted to thank you for keeping your word. Because you could have vanished.
It's all about having platforms such as yours for us to be able to share our experiences and kind of promote the film. And so thank you for having us in the first place, you know?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I mean, I remember... Okay, sorry about that. I remember not being able to see it at Dances with Films, and I remember kind of randomly meeting Marcus. This is in case you were dying to know, Jesse. I was unable to attend Dances with Films because I got this wicked flu, and then, like, I got this screener, and I was like, okay, cool. And I watched it, and like, literally the movie, like, helped me feel better. So and I was like, oh, gotta do a podcast with this. And that's why I was so happy to hear that it was going to be out there because, again, as you know, we're all in this position where we know what movie our friend is working on or we've seen a screener and we're not allowed to tell anyone about it. So you're constantly sitting there going, oh, I want to recommend this movie that I can't talk about.
Yeah. Well, the big thing with this film, I mean, for me, from the very beginning was, you know, I've done so many things where, like, you know, you put all you got into it, and at the end of the day, the end of the several months that you worked on it, nobody knows about it. Nobody sees it. Nobody cares, you know? So for me, the big thing for me was to make the movie, of course, but to also equally, you know, I think 50% of it for me was making the film, and the other half was all about raising awareness and getting it out there, you know, and promoting it and doing every single thing that we could possibly think of, you know, and the whole end goal was to get distribution and to basically get it to a sustainable place where it can operate on its own, you know, and come January 1, with our VOD and also with, you know, a little bit of marketing that we have lined up for it. That's mission accomplished. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's good to hear, and that speaks to the kind of, I have the fortune good fortune to end up in a position where I get to see these films, and it's fun to be able to watch something and be like, after like 10 minutes, you're like, oh, this is going to get a deal, or this is going to be in theaters next fall, or...
Well, I want to say something.
Go ahead.
It's people like you that appreciate it and really and get drawn to it, give it a chance before it even has any buzz. That the people like you that really help it get to where it is because, you know, it's all just such an uphill battle, and you got to take what you can get. You got to scavenge for like the best, you know, just for the support and at first, you know, and the hardest part is the kind of the initial part. And you know, so like having our initial reviews and having your initial podcast and your great review, I mean, that helps tremendously, you know. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I mean, the one main reason that we wanted to, again, support this release was because, you know, that review got huge reads when you sent it out, the podcast episode. So
Yeah.
You know, I think why we're discussing this on air, everyone, is because this is really is like what Marcus said is what it's about. It is about the community, and it is about not kind of stepping to the side and be like, oh, well, I've worked at level five and you're at level two, so I'll just kind of step over. So as we head into our last 10 minutes or so, what I want to ask both of you is, and you guys can just start and then go into the next one, do you have a – because I, Jesse, I think you had mentioned you got to take every set experience and learn something from it. Do you have your number one lesson or number two lesson that you took from this experience?
Jesse.
Oh, I mean, really, don't take anything for granted. I mean, I don't want to say this particularly with myself, I think with anything, but this was this is something that we said, you know, started as a pilot. And, you know, it's one of those things where you realize that, like, any idea is a good idea, you know, and don't treat it as nothing. You know what I mean? Just really use everything you have in front of you and just make the most of it. Because I think we did the pilot for $500. And I don't know if we, either one of us, knew where this was going to go at that point in time. But, you know, once it came time where the money did come and Marcus said, you're ready to go, you just got to be ready to do it and, you know, and make the moves. Do what you got to do to make it happen, whether it be not getting any sleep, yeah, working doubles, you know, getting on set, doing it, just showing up and doing your part. And, you know, I think that probably
and
is.
For me, it was like what I learned was kind of like, I'm pretty sure, is how to sell a film, you know, like how to actually take that movie that everybody came out and worked so hard on, but then like make sure that it doesn't end up just on a hard drive or something, you know, or, you know, on like a link that nobody goes to. It's, you know, for me, it's all about just understanding the process of getting to distribution and knowing what they're looking for. And even knowing, like, you know, for the next feature, for the next project, knowing what elements that need to be there in the very beginning to be able to sell it in the very end. That's what I took away.
Well, and what is it like as a director, Marcus, that, I mean, I'm sure you have your own, but that, like, you don't, like, your buddies don't get to carry around DVD copies of your movie?
You know, I'm actually thinking about getting a couple of, you know, Blu-rays made, maybe a couple of hundred, just to, you know, just to get out to friends and family and stuff, because it is a cool thing to have your film like on a disc and have it in your hands. You know what I mean? But as far as like the cost of that, it doesn't make much. You know, everybody's online now, and it's like, you know, when you can bypass the cost of packaging and printing discs and all that, you know, because it is a bit, you know, there's a business side to all this too. So, but as far as like, yeah, we need to have a couple Blu-rays here floating around soon, and we retained our home video rights, so we can actually do that on our own.
That's smart. Okay. Yeah,
because I think if I can add as well, I was thinking more about it as well. I think another thing I took away from the film, I think, would mostly be, because I've said it before as far as the film, like, I think it was pretty therapeutic for myself as far as actually going through with this, because I think the reason this even started was mostly from, you know, from actual kind of things that I was going through, being bald, not like feeling like I'm not accepted everywhere, not having like a full health, like, you know, full head of hair, being able to go out for more roles, because you, when you're bald, you kind of get more put in a specific kind of place. But, you know, actually making this film made me feel a lot better about being bald, I think, you know what I mean, about like being who I am and like, you know, going for the characters that I can get, and realizing that, like, I could wear any wig that I want, you know what I mean, and not feel bad about doing it, because, you know, I think that was the best thing, which, you know, I tip my hat off to Marcus for writing, like, such an, like, an awesome comedy around it, and, you know, really being able to learn from that, I think. And now I think I'd be willing to wear even some female hair if the part was right. I don't know. but
I am
anyway,
working on
that. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Actor for Hire 2, baby.
I'm trying so hard not to say I want free HBO.
Oh, there you go. Well, I want to say this too. Like one of the first initial things that I noticed to for me, when I said to myself and to Jesse, we should do something with this. You know, the moment was when I went to meet him at Starbucks, and you know, he is, there's like six shiny MacBooks, and there's, and I'm looking for Jesse, and there's one tiny little black, like, I don't know, 7-inch laptop. I don't think it's technically a laptop, whatever it's called. And it's Jesse behind it. I'm like, oh my God, this is hilarious. And that actually made it in the movie. That's, you know, what you mentioned it earlier, like, you know, seeing all those MacBooks, it's such a typical thing. But then to have Jesse sticking out like that, that's one of the first moments for me where I'm, you know, it's like, man, this is funny. You know, so we did use, you know, initially it was Jesse's real life that spurred, you know, that started it as far as the concept. So.
Well, there's always, I mean, I was on a corner in West Hollywood the other day, and I mean, you guys know how it is. It's like West Hollywood is like a film reel that just doesn't stop playing. So it's like,
Right.
Sit on the corner and you get your own little like, hey. And so that's what I appreciated most about it, was just the really great observation and the pulling that all in. And, you know, with that, we're coming up on the 5-minute marker of the show. So we want to turn over the floor to you guys. And then when you're done, I'll do the wrap. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining today. And so the floor is yours, gentlemen, for the next 2 or 3 minutes. If there's anything you need to clear up, per se.
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered quite a bit. Give us a topic. Give us a topic.
You're right. Give us a topic.
Yeah.
The floor is yours. Give me a topic.
Yeah.
Like a closing statement? Is that what we're making? Like,
well, okay, no. How about this? What I wanted to say was, and I won't use the name on air because I just don't believe in using people's names that aren't on the air, but please extend a thank you from our show and our team to your producer, Marcus. She was kind on staying top of correspondence and returning back to us. So we want to make sure that that's out there. And so maybe the last thing could be like,
I think it should absolutely have been this last. Yeah, no, actually, that's a great point because Jillian is the unsung hero of this whole thing. She is Jillian Longnecker. She has a real job as a producer, but she took her time and energy constantly and connections and everything to help get this film where it is. I mean, without her, it would probably be on a hard drive somewhere. I mean, maybe not, but you know what I'm saying. Like she doesn't get enough credit and. You know, but that she doesn't need it. She doesn't want it, really. But she's definitely the ace in the hole, you know. So, you know, you need help. Well, everybody needs help. And she totally, she's always there with whatever we needed.
I just dig anytime someone's in this town. I used to joke where it's like, if there was a fire, I'd be the guy that would be left last or whatever. But it's like, I love when there's people that you know, out there, like you said, there's bad seeds. Don't return those calls. Don't return those emails.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it was just like, wow, this person said they were going to respond, did on the day. And it's like, I admired the SH out of that. So please extend that on from the show and ourselves. But with that, you know, we thank you guys for stopping by. This was director Marcus Mizell and Jesse O'Neill. Oh, by the way, we do have enough time. Do you guys have a next project that's locked? Just something to, if you want to plug something, I have 5 minutes on the clock if you want to plug something.
Yeah. So I have it's a film called Isaac the Thief that I've been working on since 2009. And it's a crime thriller about a kleptomaniac. It's my baby. And we need a certain amount of money that we don't quite have access to at the moment. So I am currently developing another thriller that we could do within a smaller budget. To get me to that place. I don't want to say anything about it just yet, but
oh no, of course. No, I just thought there's something out there.
Yeah. No. I appreciate. Yeah. But the next thing for me is definitely going to be a thriller. So it's I'm really excited about mixing it up here. You know.
And for you, Jesse?
For me, I'm an actor for hire. for anyone out there who's looking to book some roles, and as I said, I'm willing to wear all different kinds of wigs, hair, you know, like I said, male, female, different colors. For me, I think it's really, you know, using everything that we've gotten from this film, the amazing press, you know, everything else from it, and I think really just trying to get myself the right representation because, that's one of the other struggles that comes around is, you know, trying to find yourself the right rep or the right person that's actually going to be in your corner and push for you and do all that stuff. And, you know, I feel like I have something to stand on that I'm, you know, extremely proud of. It's taken years, I think, you know, for this whole thing to really come together. But that's probably really it. And then hopefully, you know, I think we're all kind of itching to get back behind the camera or, you know, in front of the camera, behind the camera, and really, like, just get something going here. So, yeah, hopefully something else comes sometime here soon.
We got some things, though. Don't you worry. We're going to be back on the Paul Booth podcast in no time.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows, it's Talking Pictures with Paul Booth, but I'm not that much of an egomaniac yet. I'll still take your call, Marcus. No, I'm just kidding. But thanks you guys so much, and you have a wonderful and safe day wherever you guys are at, wherever you're headed, and congratulations again.
Thank you, brother. So much, thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. All right,
aloha. That was Marcus and Jesse. I love talking with Marcus. He's such a nice guy. I've only talked with him once. I shouldn't act like we talk each week. But really great guy. I knew when he was on the podcast that he would keep his word and come back, and that was just really the kind of spirit that I knew was there. So I was happy to have him back today. I'm buzzing because this was the 50th episode. So I have to, my producers, our producers, Rob, Jim, our marketing girl, so sad we lost her. She passed away a few weeks ago, but Michi, you're with us. Sound man, Wayne, designer of our logo, Josh, everyone that just hangs in there with us when I thought of doing this first episode, never thought I'd be doing the 50th. So thank you so much to everyone. And like I said, like I always end, do whatever you're going to do, but just make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha.